The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
We've had some beautiful weather where I am, but I know it's not that way everywhere, and I know that it's not going to last either. So I hope that you're able to deal with the weather you have. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 2. Wednesday is a day to pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Agnellus of Pisa. Born in 1195 in Pisa, a member of the noble Agnelli clan, St. Francis of Assisi personally received Agnellus into his order and sent him to Paris to start a Franciscan mission there. Agnellus was then sent by St. Francis to England. He and nine other Franciscans landed in Dover in 1224. They obtained a house in Oxford and began the Franciscan English province. He became a friend of King Henry III, who called upon Agnellus to avert a civil war between the throne and the Earl Marshal. Agnellus worked to calm the situation, but contracted a serious illness in the process and died in Oxford in 1236. Saint Agnellus of Pisa, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. O Jesus, I come before you at the beginning of this day. I gaze at your face, I look upon your side pierced by the lance. Your wounded heart speaks to me of God's love poured out for us. Take, Lord, and receive my heart, the words of faith that I speak, the works of justice I would do, my joys and sufferings. When I come to the Eucharistic table, gather my offerings to your own for the life of the world. At the end of the day, place me with Mary, your mother, and for her sake, take me to your heart. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray that those who risk their lives for the gospel in various parts of the world inflame the church with their courage and missionary enthusiasm. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sin and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, typically our conversation with you, Jesus, revolves around the Mass reading of the day. Nevertheless, you have made it clear that you are delighted to speak with us about whatever is on our mind. Well, Lord, to put it simply, today let's talk about all the people in my life, in our life, and how you see those relationships. You, the Good Shepherd, you want us to grow in our sense of responsibility for everyone we come in contact with. There is a danger these days, that of isolating ourselves, becoming atomized, so to speak, becoming more of an isolated verse rather than a link in a large chain. A century ago, the actress Greta Garbo became famous for her melancholic persona, her deep, throaty voice, and her line, "I want to be left alone." Well, here we are 100 years later, with the temptation to make those words our theme song. The enemies are all around us. Dads retreat into their man caves. Others in the family isolate themselves in order to be entertained. The result is an atomized style of life. This is not the case in the student residence where I live, mainly because we take meals together, we spend 30 minutes each evening enjoying a raucous get-together. The residents love the atmosphere here, which they refer to as bro culture. By contrast, when other university students stop by for a visit, it is sobering to hear about their living arrangements. Typically, they live in a suite with 4 or 5 roommates. They often tell us that they might see one of their roommates once a week at the most. That's because whenever each one returns to the suite, he or she goes right into their bedroom, closes the door, puts on the earbuds, the noise-canceling earphones. It is a truly lonely existence. A commentator recently made the following jarring observation. Generation Z, or its cousin Generation Z, has landed in a culture that is increasingly atomized and isolated. A book from the year 2000 has a most suggestive title, Bowling Alone. One could almost argue that we are now living in the bowling alone world. Civic engagement has declined. Church affiliation has declined. People simply hang out with one another less, with young adults showing the greatest decrease in socializing. Teens are dating less, spending less time with their friends, making fewer friends to begin with. Jesus, I really want to see my relationships through your eyes. Even now, as I talk things over with you in this time of prayer, faces of my friends, colleagues, and neighbors come to mind. I have to find ways of offering each one of them the precious gift of my friendship. Pope Emeritus Benedict made this point in his encyclical letter, Spe Salvi. No man is an island sufficient unto himself. Our lives are involved with one another. Through innumerable interactions, they are linked together. The lives of others continually spill over into mine, and my life spills over into that of others, for better or for worse. Jesus, open my eyes to this deep reality of my existence. I am indeed a link in an immense chain. Benedict goes on to say, it is never too late to touch the heart of another, nor is it ever in vain. Right there is some homework for us, to bring to mind my people, so to speak, starting with my family members and close friends. How can I go about bonding with them in a more conscious, systematic way? It could be as simple as choosing one or two people during my morning prayer, and then reaching out to them simply to say hello. And here's one for extra credit. Which friends of mine would be eternally grateful if I were to introduce them to 10 Minutes with Jesus? What about people I see regularly but don't know? That person I've been seeing at Sunday Mass for years, limiting myself to a polite nod. Okay, that's it. Next Sunday, I will walk up to that person and finally introduce myself. Lord, I have a special request. Teach me how to take better care of my close friends. Let me learn from the following story, told by a 55-year-old, regarding an episode that took place when he was 18. He writes, the following is one of the worst things I ever did. Late one night, I got a call from a close friend. He said, my dad is on the way to the hospital. It's really bad. His voice was shaking. I was shocked. I did not know what to say. I told my friend that I was so sorry and that I would pray for him, and then I went to sleep. I called my friend the next morning. No answer. I asked around. He was at the hospital. The same pattern repeated for 2 long days. I would call. No answer. He was at the hospital. But I did not go. I remember feeling some irrational confidence that his father would be fine. I remember being busy. I remember feeling not quite prepared to face such pain and loss. Then I got the call. My friend's father had died. I did go to the visitation. I knew at the very least that's what friends do. What happened next is burned into my heart. When I walked in the door, my friend came up to me, looked at me with immense hurt, and said, where were you? I had no answer then. I have no answer now. I failed. The older I get, the better I understand the magnitude of my failure. I had violated the first commandment of friendship, presence. Simply being there was all that had been required. I could not pass even that one simple test. Mary, all these people who inhabit my universe are your children. Do not let me be indifferent to any of them. Teach me what it means to be responsible for them with the heart of a good shepherd. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find a lot more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. This day of prayer begins in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin the liturgical day with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord, and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him. Seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Bless the Lord, my soul. Never forget all he has done for you.
Bless the Lord, my soul. Never forget all he has done for you.
My soul, give thanks to the Lord. All my being, bless his holy name. My soul, give thanks to the Lord and never forget all his blessings.
It is he who forgives all your guilt, who heals every one of your ills, who redeems your life from the grave, who crowns you with love and compassion, who fills your life with good things, renewing your youth like an eagle's.
The Lord does deeds of justice, gives judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to Israel's sons. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Bless the Lord, my soul. Never forget all he has done for you.
As a father is gentle with his children, so is the Lord with those who revere him.
As a father is gentle with his children, so is the Lord with those who revere him.
The Lord is compassion and love, slow to anger and rich in mercy. His wrath will come to an end. He will not be angry forever. He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our faults.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so strong is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins.
As a father has compassion on his sons, the Lord has pity on those who fear him. For he knows of what we are made. He remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flowers like the flower of the field. The wind blows, and he is gone, and his place never sees him again.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
As a father is gentle with his children, so is the Lord with those who revere him.
Bless the Lord, all you his works.
Bless the Lord, all you his works.
But the love of the Lord is everlasting upon those who hold him in fear. His justice reaches out to children's children when they keep his covenant in truth, when they keep his will in their mind.
The Lord has set his sway in heaven, and his kingdom is ruling over all. Give thanks to the Lord, all his angels, mighty in power, fulfilling his word, who heed the voice of his word.
Give thanks to the Lord, all his hosts, his servants who do his will. Give thanks to the Lord, all his works, in every place where he rules. My soul, give thanks to the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and it will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. You have compassion for the sinner, Lord, as a father has compassion for his children. Heal the weaknesses of your people and save us from lasting death, that we may praise and glorify you forever.
Bless the Lord, all you his works.
Turn back to the Lord and do penance.
Be renewed in heart and spirit.
A reading from the book of Numbers. The foreign elements among them were so greedy for meat that even the Israelites lamented again, "Would that we had meat for food. We remember the fish we used to eat without cost in Egypt. And the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now we are famished. We see nothing before us but this manna." When Moses heard the people, family after family, crying at the entrance to their tents, so that the Lord became very angry, he was grieved. "Why do you treat your servants so badly?" Moses asked the Lord. "Why are you so displeased with me that you burden me with all this people? Was it I who conceived all this people? Or was it I who gave them birth, that you tell me to carry them at my bosom, like a foster father carrying an infant, to the land you have promised under oath to their fathers? Where can I get meat to give all this people? For they are crying to me, 'Give us meat for our food.' I cannot carry all this people by myself, for they are too heavy for me.
Is this the way you will deal with me? Then please do me the favor of killing me at once, so that I need no longer face this distress. Then the Lord said to Moses, assemble for me 70 of the elders of Israel, men you know for true elders and authorities among the people, and bring them to the meeting tent. When they are in place beside you, I will come down and speak with you there. I will also take some of the spirit that is on you, and I will bestow it on them, that they may share the burden of the people with you. Then you will not have to bear it by yourself. To the people, however, you shall say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, when you shall have meat to eat. For in the hearing of the Lord you have cried, would that we have meat for food. Oh, how well off we were in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat for food, and you will eat it. Not for one day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your very nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. For you have spurned the Lord who is in your midst, and in his presence you have wailed, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, the people around me include 600,000 soldiers, yet you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Can enough sheep and cattle be slaughtered for them? If all the fish of the sea were caught for them, would they have enough? The Lord answered Moses, is this beyond the Lord's reach? You shall see now whether or not what I have promised you takes place. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. Gathering 70 elders of the people, he had them stand around the tent. The Lord then came down in the cloud and spoke to him, taking some of the spirit that was on Moses. He bestowed it on the 70 elders, and as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses answered him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. Then Moses retired to the camp, along with the elders of Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy.
In those days, I will pour out my spirit.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
In those days, I will pour out my spirit.
From a letter by St. Maximus the Confessor, Abbot. God's will is to save us. And nothing pleases him more than our coming back to him with true repentance. The heralds of truth and the ministers of divine grace have told us this from the beginning, repeating it in every age. Indeed, God's desire for our salvation is the primary and preeminent sign of his infinite goodness. It was precisely in order to show that there is nothing closer to God's heart that the divine word of God the Father with untold condescension, lived among us in the flesh, and did, suffered, and said all that was necessary to reconcile us to God the Father when we were at enmity with him, and to restore us to the life of blessedness from which we had been exiled. He healed our physical infirmities by miracles. He freed us from our sins, many and grievous as they were, by suffering and dying, taking them upon himself as if he were answerable for them, sinless though he was. He also taught us in many different ways that we should wish to imitate him by our own kindness and genuine love for one another. So it was that Christ proclaimed that he had come to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous, and that it was not the healthy who required a doctor, but the sick. He declared that he had come to look for the sheep that was lost, and that it was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that he had been sent. Speaking more obscurely, in the parable of the silver coin, he tells us that the purpose of his coming was to reclaim the royal image, which had become coated with the filth of sin. "You can be sure that there is joy in heaven," he said, "over one sinner who repents." To give the same lesson, he revived the man who, having fallen into the hands of brigands, had been left stripped and half dead from his wounds. He poured wine and oil on the wounds, bandaged them, placed the man on his own mule, and brought him to an inn, where he left sufficient money to have him cared for, and promised to repay any further expense on his return. Again, he told of how that Father, who is goodness itself, was moved with pity for his profligate son, who returned and made amends by repentance, how he embraced him, dressed him once more in the fine garments that befitted his own dignity, and did not reproach him for any of his sins. So, too, when he found wandering in the mountains and hills the one sheep that had strayed from God's flock of 100, he brought it back to the fold. But he did not exhaust it by driving it ahead of him. Instead, he placed it on his own shoulders, and so, compassionately, he restored it safely to the flock. So also he cried out, "Come to me, all you that toil and are heavy of heart. Accept my yoke," he said, by which he meant his commands, or rather the whole way of life that he taught us in the gospel. He then speaks of a burden, but that is only because repentance seems difficult. In fact, however, "my yoke is easy," he assures us, "and my burden is light." Then again, he instructs us in divine justice and goodness, telling us to be like our Heavenly Father, holy, perfect, and merciful. "Forgive," he says, "and you will be forgiven. Behave toward other people as you would wish them to behave toward you."
Lord, what anguish I would suffer if I knew nothing of your mercy. But you have said, "I do not desire the sinner's death, but that he come back to me and live."
You called back to your love the Canaanite woman and the publican to repentance.
When my heart is full of anxiety, you give me comfort and joy.
You called back to your love the Canaanite woman and the publican to repentance.
Let us pray. O God, who reward the merits of the just and offer pardon to sinners who do penance, have mercy, we pray, on those who call upon you, that the admission of our guilt may serve to obtain your pardon for our sins. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus makes it very clear just where he stands in the Holy Trinity. It's in today's Gospel in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, Jesus makes it pretty clear just who he is. From the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John.
My Father is working still, and I am working.
This was why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus said to them,
truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own authority. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. Daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Well, it's an awesome responsibility, but as Christians, it's up to us to save the world. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but so that the world might be saved through him. He came into the world so that men might have light and stop thrashing about in the dark. Having received the light, they can turn the world into a place where everything will be able to give glory to God and help man to achieve his ultimate goal. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These words are relevant for a good part of today's world, which is in deep gloom. For without Christ, men will never achieve peace or happiness or salvation. Outside of Christ, only darkness and sin exist. Whoever rejects Christ remains without light and has no idea which way to go. In the innermost depth of his being, he is disorientated. For centuries, many have lived their lives of work, study, business, research, social relationships, interests, in separation from the faith. And as a consequence of this separation, temporal realities have been adversely affected, existing, as it were, in the shadows on the fringes of the light of revelation. Without this light, many have come to consider the world as an end in itself, without any reference to God. Therefore, they have distorted the most elementary and basic truths. In Western countries particularly, it becomes necessary to correct this separation because many generations which should belong to Christ and the Church are being lost in these years, and because, unhappily, from these places, the harmful influence of a new paganism is being sent into the whole world. Thus, contemporary paganism is characterized by the search for material well-being at any cost and by the corresponding disregard, or to put it more accurately, fear, genuine terror, of anything that could cause suffering. With this outlook, words such as God, sin, cross, mortification, eternal life become incomprehensible to a great number of people who are ignorant of their meaning and content. You have witnessed the incredible fact that many people began by putting God in parentheses in some aspects of their professional lives. But then, as God demands, loves, and asks, they end up throwing him out, like an intruder, from their civil life and from the lives of their nations. With a ridiculous and presumptuous pride, they want to lift up in his place the poor human creature who has lost his supernatural and human dignity and has become reduced, it is no exaggeration, one can see it everywhere, to a stomach, sex, and money. The world remains in darkness because Christians, through lacking a unity of life, do not illuminate or give the realities of each day a special meaning. We know that the approach of true disciples of Christ towards the world is not one of separation, rather it is one of getting involved at the very core of things as leaven within the lump, transforming it. The Christian, consistent with his faith, is salt, which gives taste and preserves from corruption. And for this he relies above all else on his witness in the midst of his ordinary occupations with all the tasks he does fulfilled extraordinarily well. If we Christians really lived in accordance with our faith, the greatest revolution of all time would take place. The effectiveness of our co-redemption depends on each one of us. You should meditate on this. Do I live at every instant of my life, this unity of life, at work, in my leisure, at rest? In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers, and you can find it at your local Catholic bookstore. Let's join the whole church in prayer once again. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready.
My heart is ready, O God.
My heart is ready.
My heart is ready, O God. I will sing your praise. Awake, my soul. Awake, lyre and harp. I will awake the dawn.
I will thank you, Lord, among the peoples. Among the nations, I will praise you. For your love reaches to the heavens and your truth to the skies. O God, arise above the heavens. May your glory shine on earth.
O come and deliver your friends. Help with your right hand and reply. From his holy place, God has made this promise. I will triumph and divide the land of Shechem. I will measure out the valley of Succoth.
Gilead is mine and Manasseh. Ephraim I take for my helmet, Judah for my commander's staff. Moab I will use for my washbowl. On Edom I will plant my shoe. Over the Philistines I will shout in triumph.
But who will lead me to conquer the fortress? Who will bring me face to face with Edom? Will you utterly reject us, O God, and no longer march with our armies?
Give us help against the foe, for the help of man is vain. With God we shall do bravely, and he will trample down our foes.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Accept the prayers of your servants, Lord, and prepare our hearts to praise your holy name. Come to our aid in times of trouble, and make us worthy to sing you songs of thanksgiving.
My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready.
The Lord has robed me with grace and salvation.
The Lord has robed me with grace and salvation.
I rejoice heartily in the Lord, and my God is the joy of my soul. For he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels.
As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its growth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations.
For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Until her vindication shines forth like the dawn, and her victory like a burning torch.
Nations shall behold your vindication, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of God. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God.
No more shall men call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse.
As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord has robed me with grace and salvation.
I will praise my God all the days of my life.
I will praise my God all the days of my life.
My soul, give praise to the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my days and make music to my God while I live.
Put no trust in princes, in mortal men in whom there is no help. Take their breath, they return to clay, and their plans that day come to nothing.
He is happy who is helped by Jacob's God, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who alone made heaven and earth, the seas and all they contain.
It is he who keeps faith forever, who is just to those who are oppressed. It is he who gives bread to the hungry, the Lord who sets prisoners free, the Lord who gives sight to the blind, who raises up those who are bowed down, the Lord who protects the stranger and upholds the widow and orphan.
It is the Lord who loves the just, but thwarts the path of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, Zion's God, from age to age.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will
praise my God all the days of my life.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God has chosen you from all the nations on the face of the earth to be a people peculiarly his own. It was because the Lord loved you and because of his fidelity to the oath he had sworn to your fathers that he brought you out with his strong hand from the place of slavery and ransomed you from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, then, that the Lord your God is God indeed, the faithful God, who keeps his merciful covenant to the thousandth generation toward those who love him and keep his commandments. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
From those who would trap me with lying words.
And from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
Whoever hears my word, says the Lord, and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Whoever hears my word, says the Lord, and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life. Let us give thanks to God our Father. Through the power of the Spirit, he purifies our hearts and strengthens us in love. Let us humbly ask him,
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit.
Help us to receive good things from your bounty with a deep sense of gratitude.
And to accept with patience the evil that comes to us.
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Teach us to be loving not only in great and exceptional moments,
but above all in the ordinary events of daily life.
Lord give us your Holy Spirit. May we abstain from what we do not really need.
And help our brothers and sisters in distress.
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. May we bear the wounds of your Son.
For through his body he gave us life.
Lord give us your Holy Spirit.
Now let us offer together the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, who reward the merits of the just, and offer pardon to sinners who do penance. Have mercy, we pray, on those who call upon you, that the admission of our guilt may serve to obtain your pardon for our sins. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Hey, another new day has begun. Morning Air is coming up with John and Glenn in just a few minutes. Patrick Madrid a bit later on. And after that, it's Patrick Conley with The Inner Life. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out, make this a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.